audio. We didn't have video. Mike turned into a giraffe at one point.
At one point, it was really strange. You know, I like giraffes. I wouldn't mind being a giraffe for a day.
If you got to pick an animal, giraffe's a pretty good one.
I think if I got my pick of the litter, I would go dolphin because that just seems really fun.
But yeah.
Giraffe would be like high up there, like definitely A tier. Not S tier, A tier. What about you? What are you thinking?
Any animal. Any single animal I could be. My favorite animal is probably an orangutan. But
that's pretty chill.
It's like you're so close to being human at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can jump higher and like do fun orangutan things, like play with balls or whatever. But like, I can play with a ball.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal.
It'd be kind of cool if you were like a sign language orangutan, though. Like, that would be pretty sweet, because then everybody would be like, whoa, you're awesome. Even though you're like, kind of every normal person can do this, but, you know, thanks.
Right, right. Well, I think you got to, if you're picking an animal, you got to pick an animal that can fly, I think. Flying is key. Well,
that was my thought with dolphin, because it's like flying through the water.
Right.
Like, that's something that people can't do either.
Yeah, I dig that. Well, it's really great to be back here on another episode of This Is The New Shit, featuring myself and Mike Howell, and welcome everybody on Twitch, listeners on the podcast, wherever you are in the entire world, because we're worldwide on this thing. I know.
Even if you're out of this world.
Ooh.
It's up to our alien listeners.
Wow.
We're coming at you
from
I
like that,
Earth.
Mike. I like that. That's really good. Isn't it funny how it used to be such a thing when you'd be like, we're broadcast worldwide and like,
oh yeah,
all these countries, and now it's like, yeah, like why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. Some band did that. They were like, our stream's only accessible from the UK for the live stream, but then they did a US one later. I was like, that's kind of an interesting way to do it, but they were also like live in the chat and everything like that, so I don't know, it makes sense. It's more of a Q&A thing afterwards,
right.
I think. So
no, I saw that. I forget who it was that was doing that. They were
holding absence.
They were doing live streams that were like geo-targeted in certain time zones. So
FIFA 333 did that around the world.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I mean, it's kind of cool, I guess, to make, you know, to be like, hey, this is like for you, you know, Germany or whatever, like, we're kind of like trying to cater to you a little bit because that's what we do when we play a live show. But it's also a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And because there's this thing called a VPN that you can just do whatever you want with. Maybe
also true.
Maybe people have heard of it by now. But hey, anyway. So, Mike, we've got music to talk about. But
we do.
We always start out by talking about the music of the last week. And
yes,
you had a super interesting pick for number one. Can you refresh everybody on what that number one pick was?
So coming out of Toronto, I picked kind of black gaze post-hardcore band Respire with their new album Black Line. Did you listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
It's great. I mean, this I had never heard of this band when you brought them up. Despite them being from Toronto, they're a really small band for now, at least. This record might change that. But yeah, super cool. I mean, just it's really hard to kind of, I mean, you described it, but I don't know. I found it very difficult to kind of describe to somebody because they don't really sound like anyone else. And they have a lot of elements of metal, like, you know, super aggressive, almost black metal parts throughout this record, but then they'll go into a part that literally sounds like 90s emo.
Yeah. Like,
and
straight ripped from a post-hardcore song.
Yeah.
Like, it's great.
Like, and it, but it works in a really cool way where, you know, I the problem that I have with a lot of metal, and to be honest, I've had this problem for like the better part of 30 years listening to metal.
You've always been kind of a punk guy. So.
Yeah, I have, but I mean, I discovered metal before I discovered punk. So I was, you know, metal was my first love, but what just bothered me about metal was the fear of emotion, you know, and the fear of really putting yourself out there in a vulnerable way, because metal, like so much of metal is it's tough. Like I'm tough.
It's about being hard.
And yeah.
I think that's, That's kind of a script that's really changed within the last like 10 years too.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty great.
And you know, but it's still not all the time. Yeah. The band's called Respire for people that are wondering and just tuning in. And this band just has this extra cool emotional element without taking away from their aggression that I think is missing in a lot of the extreme metal genre. So I really love this pick, Mike. And I think that this is the reason why people need to listen to this podcast, because 100%. No one else is talking about this record, and they should be.
It's absolutely phenomenal. I agree with you on a lot of your points. Like, I think that it's an absolutely brilliant record. It really wears its heart on its sleeve, like lyrically, kind of emotionally, with everything that's going on. Like, it really wants you to feel certain ways at certain points in the record. Like, it's got this kind of brilliant string, like kind of instrumental song that it starts off with, and the strings kind of like set up this overture for kind of the thematics of how the album's going to go. And it's got these kind of like great ebb and flows between the really like heavy parts, these black metal fast parts, these kind of slower post-hardcore parts. And sometimes it even drops down to like spoken word with some like orchestral or horns in the background. I think it's like absolutely amazingly mixed as well.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of one of those mixes where everything is layered, but you kind of pick out little bits from each layer every time you listen, and like you can find something new. I really like things like that. And overall, I just love this album. It's absolutely phenomenal. And if you haven't listened to it yet, you really, really, really should. Even if black metal or whatever sounds scary to you, like just try it out. This is, I'd say, a very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Digestible kind of black metal thing, right? It's not like you're going to come in and it's immediately just going to be like talking about burning down churches or whatever. Like, it's very calm. It's just about emotional well-being and mental health. It's an absolutely phenomenal record.
Awesome. I'm all about it, Mike. This is great. Anything else to touch on from last week until we get into this week?
Actually, real quick, I really like the Youngblood album. I think it was pretty good.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. Definitely not Album of the Year Seeker, but well, it's fun for what it is.
To be fair, though, so many singles, you'd kind of already heard it, right?
Exactly.
That's always, it's always tough when a band releases a new album, but when you've heard all the singles, it's almost like, it's almost like they've just released an EP for what's new to you.
And the other kind of thing I want to touch on, like if you haven't listened to that Varsity EP yet, that's probably one of my favorite EPs this year. I haven't gone through and kind of like re-listened critically, but just kind of on first glance, listening to it two or three times, the entire EP bangs. And if you like metalcore and kind of like R&B, check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, shall we?
Yeah, I think we shall.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into the top five albums of the week. We're getting to the end of the year, and I'm always curious about which of these albums may sneak their way into the album of the year. And it's always funny too, because I think you can get hyped on an album, but you kind of can recognize your own hype and wonder if,
like, recency bias,
right? But like sometimes you're like, wait, is this really better than a record that came out in January? Or is it just because I'm so hyped on it that you'll actually later on in another year, you'll be like, fuck, I didn't give that December release like as much love because I was thought maybe I was just kind of like a little gaga over it.
I've definitely done similar things.
But anyway, let's get into the top five with number five on your list, Mike.
All right. So number five, Shane, do you miss Vanna?
Oh yeah. Vanna was a great band. I do miss them. And are they kind of back?
They're kind of back. So it's actually an old lineup that Vanna have. I don't remember who's the vocalist. I'm pretty sure they kept pretty consistent instrumentalist. I think it was like their second vocalist, but they're back as a band called In Spirit, all caps. Yeah. They're putting out their new EP Moon. Absolutely incredible band. If you're into kind of like metalcore, post-hardcore kind of meld, I guess. I don't know. It sounds like Vanna. It's basically Vanna. It's really good. I don't know how to describe this more. If you like old Vanna, you'll like this. If you want to check it out, it's kind of your classic, like, I would say, not modern metalcore, like it doesn't sound anything like era, but it definitely sounds like 2012 to 2015 metalcore, I would say. It's just going to be really good. It's going to be a fun EP that's really easy listening, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, great pick at number five. And it's great to see those guys getting back out there and you know,
making new music,
making some new music. Yeah. That is exciting. So let's move on to number four.
Number four. So I've got this really interesting band from Jacksonville, Florida. They're called Yashira, and they're putting their new album Fall to Be out. It's kind of a sludge doom metal band. If you're familiar with bands like Wolf King, Umbra Vitae, and they've almost kind of got some early core influences like Zao, uh-huh. which is absolutely cool. I listen to the singles. It's very sludgy. That's a term you're not familiar with. It almost sounds like a slightly like over distorted guitar, I guess. I don't know how to describe it perfectly.
I didn't catch the band name.
So Yashira.
Yashira.
Yeah.
Not Yahiman, Yashira.
Yashira. It's Yashira.
Okay. Okay.
And, just kind of like listening to them, I didn't get, like, I haven't been able to spin the singles as much as I wanted to, but I've been kind of really excited for this because I've seen a lot of other people hyping it up. I listened to the singles and I'm like, wow, these are great songs. Unfortunately, didn't get to spin them enough again, but I really think that this album's just going to be kind of like that old school 90s metal sound, not like Limp Bizkit or anything metal sound, but like, you know, kind of like sludgy, almost intro to metalcore kind of thing.
Okay. Where's this band from? Do you know anything about them?
They're from Jacksonville, Florida.
Interesting. Jacksonville, yeah. Florida. Go Jaguars. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Is that a sports team? NFL, right?
That's NFL. Okay. Yeah. They're not having a very good year.
It happens. Neither are the Lions.
No, the Lions. Oh man, the Lions
never have a good year.
Well, they had some really, really bad years. Like they had the year where they went 0-16. That was a really rough year. And then they were okay for a while, like, but mediocre. Like they never. I don't know if they've won a playoff game in the past.
I don't know when the last time they were in a playoff game in the last 15
years.
Yeah,
I mean they've been to the playoffs, but have they won any game? I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, let's get off the football talk and let's get into number three already. Let's go.
Number three. So this is a band that I think a lot more people are going to be more familiar with. Coming in also from Florida, Gainesville, actually.
Oh,
with
yeah.
New album, Silver Linings, we got Less Than Jake.
Yes. Ska punk legends. Thank you Absolute for a punk legends. Rock pick for a change, Mike. Jeez.
You're welcome.
You're killing me here.
So Less Than Jake is kind of like impossible not to talk about because a lot of people who listen to this show are Warped Tour kids. And either Less Than Jake or Real Big Fish, whenever you're walking between stages, or maybe you're at those stages, you kind of always ominously hear one of the two in the background.
Ominously? The ominous, like, sounds of ska punk.
Yeah like I legitimately remember, like, all of a sudden it was such a weird feeling. I think it was like 2011 or 2012. Woe Is Me was playing, and Woe Is Me ended, like, heavy metalcore band,
right?
And then all of a sudden, just in the background, I think like next stage over or something like that, I just hear trumpets and, like, Real Big Fish just playing beer or something. Yeah. Like, one of them's playing. It's just great.
Well, Less Than Jake, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned them in the same breath as Warped Tour. Well, first of all, I mean, most people know that they are the band that has the record for most Warped Tour appearances, both in years played and dates played.
Haven't they played over a year of Warped Tour?
Yes, they have. Yep.
Absolutely insane.
It's crazy. So yeah, so they hold the record, and it's kind of interesting from my personal experience because the first Warped Tour I ever went to was in 1997, and I saw Less Than Jake that day. It was the first time I'd ever heard of the band. And my friend bought their CD, and we, like, listened to it on the way home and fell in love with the band. And that was, you know, 23 years ago, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm still super excited for everything that they put out. But so I've heard this record already.
Really?
I got an advanced copy of it from the label because I had both Chris and Roger both on the show.
The album.
And yeah, and so they sent me the album and I listened to it and it's awesome.
I expect nothing less.
And well, yeah, I mean, you know, I won't say that I think every Less Than Jake record that's come out in the past, let's say, even 10 years, I wouldn't say all their albums are like amazing. I think they've put out some good material, but this record, I'm not sure. Well, I'll tell you why I think it is, but this record is really cohesive, really strong all the way through, has a really just a nice consistency to it, because with a band that is doing the ska thing and also sometimes kind of hardcore punk at the same time, I feel like sometimes it's hard to find a nice just sort of, I guess a consistency, for lack of a better word. But what happened was their drummer, Vinny, founding member, he was kind of the man behind the lyrics, and he wrote a lot of the lyrics and a lot of the vocal ideas, I guess. Not so much the melodies, but like the subject matter. So when he's out of the band now, and they have a new drummer, and now it's kind of up to the other two singers, who didn't really write a lot of lyrics before, to kind of fill that role.
And when you're talking, some time to like find your groove with that too.
For sure. I mean, especially when you're talking about a band that's been together for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like, there's the old expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's what you're trying to do with a band here, right? And I'm not saying that they couldn't possibly do it, but it's impressive how good the lyrics are now. And I would venture that this is the best Less Than Jake album lyrically. And it has some of the best songs that they've ever made, not just in the last 5-10 years, like ever. So this is a must listen if you're into anything remotely close to ska punk at all. You're going to like this record.
Even if you're not into ska punk, I think that you can't listen to Less Than Jake without having a smile on your face. That's just kind of the sound of the music, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just always so happy. Like, if there's a sad song, it's only one on the album. And I think, like, I'm really happy that they waited until this point in the year to put this album out, because after the entirety of 2020, like, coming into a Less Than Jake album is just going to be so refreshing. And I am so excited to just put this record on and spin it and kind of forget about everything that happened this year for an hour.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm really excited because, you know, I really like lyricism, things like that. And you saying it's their best album lyrically, I'm going to be paying attention to that now. So
no, absolutely. I think it's also the first album that their bass player Roger has produced. So self-produced album, which sometimes as a fan of a band, you might go, oh yeah, like you get a little scared, you know, you shouldn't be. This record also sounds better than anything they've put out before. So
awesome.
And Chris, shout out to his podcast, Chris DeMakes. He has a really good podcast too, where it's kind of like punk rock song exploder. If you've ever heard of Song Exploder, the podcast, basically you take just one song and you break it down with the songwriter and talk all about it. So that's what he's doing. And it's a really, really great podcast. If you like mine, you'll probably like his.
Fun. Check it out.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, let's move on to number two.
Number two, something that came up today. And I'm sure if you are into music at all, you have seen that the entire world is exploding because Taylor Swift announced a new album.
My God.
And it's coming out tomorrow. surprise release. Supposedly, it's the sister album to her album from earlier this year, Folklore. Okay.
So, that was my first question when you told me the news this morning, Mike. I was like, didn't she just put out a fucking album? Like,
yep.
So, I'm wondering, what kind of thing is this? Is this like,
I have no idea.
Okay, well, there's a few different things it could be. It could just be like bullshit remixes or something like that.
It's not. So demos. She released the track list and it's full on like new songs, new features, like everything like that.
So we could be getting into a Metallica Load Reload situation where it's kind of like the songs that weren't good enough for the one record are on this one.
Hollywood Undead Chapter 1, Chapter 2.
Oh, is
that we just got?
Well, I don't know. I haven't checked out the new Hollywood Undead album.
Neither have I,
but
to be honest.
Okay. Well, thanks expert for your speculation.
You're welcome.
but no, I am very, very excite, well, excited is the wrong word. I'm interested in knowing and hearing what this record's all about.
Me too.
You kind of figure someone like Taylor Swift would be like, she'll do this in like 3 years. Because what does she have to prove, or why would she do this right now? And I'm really curious as to why. And maybe just quarantine, sitting around bored, and she's a hell of a songwriter. You know, that could be it.
She made a huge statement about it, and I kind of skimmed through it. Basically, her birthday's in 3 days, and she wanted to kind of release an album around her birthday or something like that. And she felt like it was really important to kind of follow up this album as quickly as possible with kind of like the other side of it. So, I mean, I really liked Folklore. I wouldn't say it was Taylor Swift's best material by far. I think she sounds really good in kind of like that slower pop music, but I think she sounds better in the more upbeat pop music. And so I'm kind of hoping for some of that from this album.
Right.
Because it's called Evermore. And I think kind of when you think of something being like Evermore, it's typically like a happier kind of thought. At least you want it to be a happier kind of thought. But I kind of hope that we get something a little poppier, right?
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you on that one. So yeah, so Taylor Swift at number two. And I'm at a loss for why. And also, why do you say it's coming?
Yeah, why not just surprise drop it too?
I guess it's probably out because the way that it works, like maybe it's out if you're in Australia or something.
Probably.
Maybe if there's any Australians in the middle of the night.
I mean, she's got like, I mean, every band artist has crazy super fans too, right? So maybe she wanted to just get them like ready to buy records. Like, hey, you might want to allocate funds now so you can buy the new merch line or something like that, right?
Hey, maybe.
Drain the savings.
Yep. Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, it is time, Michael.
Speaking of savings.
Yeah. We're going to get into the number one album of the week after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. That was a commercial break. There's probably a commercial button I could hit for all the people. If you're into that sort of thing.
Let's not do it because we're already past it. But
no, it's like there. I know when you talk about commercials, it's always like no one's like into commercials. But I will say back in the day before you could pause at TV and stuff, commercials were great, man.
They were a bit better. Like, I remember growing up and I absolutely loved the Geico cavemen. Like, those commercials were hilarious. Have you ever actually gone and watched the Geico caveman TV show that they made?
No.
It lasted like 6 episodes. It is some of the worst television I've ever seen in my life. But it was like, just the fact that it made it that far to having like 6 episodes or so was just wild.
There's only one company that can make art good, and it's Liquid Death.
Oh yeah,
yes, the two Liquid Death albums are both great, but great no ads. Corporation, especially an insurance company, should be making any art.
Wendy's had a rap EP that was all about dissing other fast food chains, and that was pretty great too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's right. And there's in Canada we have a grocery store called No Frills. Yeah. And they've made an album too, I guess.
Interesting.
That's talking about how good their food is.
Maybe that's what we'll do in the holiday Dead Space. We'll review the No Frills album. As an American and a Canadian.
It's a dark week. We just come on. It's an ominous week.
Yes. Speaking of ominous, what do you think the number one album this week is? Do you have any guesses?
No.
I don't know.
You like, sometimes you send me records and then you don't actually, they're not actually on the list anymore. And then you're talking about Yashira and I'm like, I don't even know what Yashira. Yeah, this happens all the time. So no, I have absolutely no idea what the number one album of this week is, but give it to me.
This time I stuck with it. I'm excited. Out of Cincinnati, Ohio, the brand new album Burn from power rock math rock band Foxy Shazam.
Oh, Foxy. Yeah. That's cool. You know Foxy cool Shazam? Pick. Oh, yeah. I love Foxy Shazam. Such a hard band to label and define.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up like, so I always come up with four fans of for the list and everything like that, right? And I ended up landing on The Darkness, which I think is a pretty good one.
Right.
Electric Six, which I think is like kind of the vibe where they're almost kind of like that, like trying to be kind of like almost hair metal, but like a little bit fancier with guitar riffs, almost a little bit like UK alternative, but they're like taking themselves way too seriously to the point that it's funny and they know that they're doing that.
Yes.
And I compared them to like Royal Republic too, which is just a meme band, but they sound really similar.
Right.
Like, it's been 6 years since they put out an album. They went on hiatus.
Yeah. So no, Gonzo was the last album, which, yeah, back in 2014. I remember the interesting thing about Foxy Shazam is when they came out, they were on a hardcore label. They were on Ferret Records.
Like, and you still to this day look at their like people who like Foxy Shazam also like what was it? It's like The Fall of Troy and like The Sound of Animals Fighting and stuff like that. All these post hardcore bands.
Yeah, it was really like they kind of came out and I was like, oh, that's kind of a different name for a hardcore band. But there were always like hardcore bands with like silly names like that. I mean, look at Gorilla Biscuits. Gorilla Biscuits is this kind of a silly name, right? You kind of forget that it's a silly name. Because it's Gorilla Biscuits is Gorilla Biscuits. But, you know, so I was like, oh, okay, it's kind of like a funny name. It isn't like whatever you'd expect a hardcore band coming out in 2008 to be called like Day of Reckoning or like something generic. Yeah. So
blank.
Yeah. So I remember I got a promo copy of that CD because back in the days that was just getting thrown around all over the place. And, yeah, and honestly, like, just love the record. Was like really, really kind of confused at first because I was like, okay, this doesn't make sense that this is coming out on Ferret Records and that this band is they went on tour with like Every Time I Die, you know?
Yeah, like, so absolutely wild.
Yeah, so that I think it was Every Time I Die. I was a band in that genre, similar style. So it was really, really confusing. But a band that wrote it out and grew and did some really, really cool things. I mean, I think they were on Sire for a while too. Like they signed to a major. Yeah. So really cool that they're back. And I'm really excited to hear this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so they put out three singles, Burn, Dreamer, and The Rose. If you like Foxy Shazam, they sound exactly like Foxy Shazam. They've got kind of a more ballady song with Burn. Well, Burn's kind of the intro song, I think. Dreamer's kind of the ballady song, and The Rose is kind of like their standard, like a little bit more fast paced, kind of interesting rock riff. That's another thing that I like about them. They don't settle for just doing power chords as a rock band. Like they actually write some real tasty licks too.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't know. I almost want to think of them as like a modern hair metal band, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, in a way that The Darkness is just so theatrical, but actually good. And that they know that it's sort of like they're kidding, like they're not taking themselves too seriously like that is really, it's a rare find. And it's even rarer to find a band that does it well, you know? Yeah. So
I can definitely agree with that.
So they're doing both of those things and it's really great to see. And I'm so happy that you have this pick.
I would consider it like almost like a toned down Steel Panther too. Like Steel Panther leans in.
It can be graphic. Especially if you've seen them live.
Compared to
on
that,
stage.
Foxy Shazam is like dipping their toes in the hair metal. But like,
yes. No, it's Steel. I'm going to say Steel Panther is 100% a joke. Whereas Foxy Shazam, like I don't know, 25% a joke, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe I don't know if they'd be upset at me saying that, or if they'd be like, yeah, 25 is about right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a percentage I think for every band where they kind of think of themselves as like, yeah, you know, you got to put those little jokes in there for me. Like, I don't think anybody takes themselves entirely seriously. Like, even Silent Planet, one of the most serious bands out there, like replaced the lyrics to one of their songs for a shirt with because their van died. Like that was great.
Right. I think that's just the natural way. I mean, Propagandhi, that's another example of like probably one of the most important politically charged punk rock bands ever. They don't have any problem joking around, making fun of themselves, like completely ridiculous stuff they put in there when they are literally maybe the only band that you can say has 100% practiced what they've preached for the last over 30 years, and they 100% will joke around and whatever. So yeah, so it makes sense.
Speaking of bands that are also joking around, I got to put A Day to Remember in a good light, because they decided that too many people were bootlegging meme merch of their stuff. So they decided to create bootlegadtr.com, and it looks like one of those bootleg shirts. Like it says in rainbow font, 100% authentic merchandise. And like,
I love just
got
it.
The white shirt with the meme font that says A Day to Remember, and it's got Jeremy like cleaning a bar top, and it says disinfect your surroundings. Like it is straight up a real website, though. I forget which band member like tweeted it out. Like 100% great.
All right. So we have talked about the number one album this week.
Yes.
And now on to some honorable mentions. Is it slowing down a little bit at the end of the year?
No.
Okay.
You always think it is, but it's never going to. So first things I want to talk about, a band, good friends of mine, good friends of yours, from the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club, actually formed in the All Access Club.
Yes.
They are, I think one guy's from Texas, one guy's from Philly or Jersey, and I forget where the other dude's from.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. That's where Eric's from, yeah.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. But they're called Taroff. Taroff? Is that? I don't know how to say it. It's spelled weird.
I think it's Taroff.
T-A-apostrophe-A-R-O-F. They're putting out a new EP, their first material.
Yes.
They're pretty good, like old school emo post-hardcore. I kind of compared them to like Law Dispute almost, if that kind of fits the vibe, where it's kind of like almost talk screaming, but it's still like post-hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well,
I've heard it.
I've heard it. Yeah. It's really cool that this band was formed out of this podcast, literally. Mm-hmm. You know, the All Access Club, which is at the bottom of the screen for people watching. And I'm sure if you've listened to this podcast, you know it exists by now. And, you know, we're always on there hanging out. And some of the members formed in the All Access Club band. And it's really awesome that this happened. And I was actually asked to contribute to one of the songs. So one of the songs on this EP, I actually wrote the lyrics and melodies for and collaborated with them. And there was a version of the song with me singing too, but we decided to keep that one just for an exclusive in the All Access Club for members, you know, in there to, you know, cause it's our thing, right? You got to give back to the community that started you, right?
So
it's really cool, but yeah, they're coming out with this EP, which I'm really excited about. And, yeah, it bangs just really, really, really cool. I you call it like a bit of a throwback, and I don't think that's completely wrong in some
but
of the influences.
But it's not completely right either.
But there's like something modern about it too that I really like, you know, something a little bit cutting edge about the songs too.
There's kind of a hecticness to it, whereas like when you look at kind of older post-hardcore and stuff, it still followed kind of a formula, whereas this, it doesn't kind of follow your normal songwriting structure, at least from the singles that I've heard. And
yeah,
I think that kind of keeps it interesting.
Totally. I think if you're a fan of maybe like something like Being as an Ocean, you'd probably really be into this.
Old Being as an Ocean. Not stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something in that realm where it's, you'd still call it, it's definitely post-hardcore. But then there are some really cool elements. So yeah, that's a great pick. Happy that's on the list, Mike. Well,
hell yeah.
An honorable mention. But Taylor Swift did come out, probably bumped them, right? Off the list.
Sorry, so, Brian, they bumped you.
Hey, but you get bumped by Taylor, you got bumped by Taylor.
She came in, she called me up, and she said, "Hey, Mike, I'm going to let you finish, but you got to bump Tar off." But no, keep it rolling. We've got some new acoustic EPs, which I always think are a little fun, from pop punk bands specifically. We've got one coming from Youth Fountain, which I think, well, I know they're a newer up and coming kind of pop punk band, but I think they're a really fun band. And if you're into this kind of new wave of pop punk that's happening, you'll really enjoy them. And an acoustic EP from Bayside. It's their third acoustic EP. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure a lot of people know who Bayside is.
I certainly
kind of
do.
A cult.
They are a cult. Yeah, that's funny you bring up the Bayside is a cult thing. I remember when that became a thing, and they had Victory Records made, and I mean, I could be a little bit wrong here. I'd have to, you know, Anthony would correct me, but this is how I recall it happening. Victory Records had merch deals with all their bands to where you had to allow them to print like a certain amount of shirts to sell. And like, sure, you would get paid for it, but it was like really bad, right? So so typically, like, you kind of wanted your own merch to be better than the merch that the label was selling, you know, so that if people are online, they're going to buy the stuff directly from you or on tour and not their merch. Bayside, I guess, was they were working with the label and our designer friend, Jason, and they made this one that just said Bayside is a cult on it. And they were like, what? Like, where is this coming from? It's like the owner was like, yeah, you guys are a cult. You guys are going to be a cult band. Everyone's going to like, and they made this like little marketing thing, like just kind of there. They had one record out. Like, it wasn't.
It works. Like, and other bands have copied the method.
Well,
right?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But that was, well, so the Bayside is a cult thing became like something that they hung their hat on. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is after all these years, it's true. They absolutely have a massive, massive cult following. And I don't think it's just because they said they did, but that's how it started.
there are people that legit make me think Bayside is a cult. They are diehard Bayside fans. I think the band's like, okay, like they're fun. If they get put on, I'm not mad. But you say something like that to some of these Bayside fans and they're like, oh my God, how is it not your album
of
the year?
I'll be honest. Like, when you just said that, crazy. When you just sort of, what's the word?
Nonchalantly brushed it off, like
brushed them off, like yes, oh sorry, you're not a metal band, oh sorry Bayside,
no, like, I love pop punk,
but they're more than pop punk.
They are, they're more on the punk side of pop punk.
They're more than that too. Like, I totally get why if somebody said to me, hey, Bayside's my favorite band, I would 100% be like,
oh, I
absolutely get why. They have something so special. Their songs are written in a way that other bands don't write their songs. Their lyrics are crafted in a certain way. Like, their sound is interesting. Anthony's voice is different. I really, really get the why they have done what they've done with their fan base. And this EP, now I actually saw a news thing that they had released a video for Poison in My Veins, which is an old song.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so is this Bayside EP, do you know, is it old songs that they're redoing?
I'm not 100% sure.
Because I haven't seen the track listing, and I always have trouble finding that stuff sometimes.
Yeah. I honestly don't know Bayside well enough to say. I mean, it looked like older stuff when I kind of did my research when I was... Like, you see a Bayside single comes out, I'm going to put it on the list. So I do the research and I look at it and I'm like, it says like on the kind of like news article that I see, it's like acoustic single. So I'm like, okay, I've got to look at like when the single came out. And I think the first one they dropped was from like second album, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Cool. Well, let's get to some more stuff.
Honorable mentions.
Yes.
So I'm going to leave the stuff that came out on Monday that we need to talk about because it's kind of important news for the end so that all of you still listening, if you want the real takes, you get those at the end. So today, this band I'm not familiar with. I think they're a two-piece rock instrumental electronic group called Q-Stack. Released a song featuring David Hasselhoff.
Oh, nice.
Absolute banger. Like, 100% make sure you go listen to this song. Like, if you don't take it seriously, you're going to absolutely love it. It's in the same. Do you remember when that movie Kung Fury came out and it was like 30 minutes and it was like on YouTube and everything?
Yeah, I remember that.
The big thing was like David Hasselhoff had the song for that.
Yeah.
It's like that, but metal. And it's so funny. Like,
oh, I love it.
I absolutely love it. It's so good.
Now, do you think David Hasselhoff is taking this seriously and that's what makes it good? Or do you think he knows?
See, David Hasselhoff, I think, is a hard man to read in any situation. And I have no idea. Because, like, you're talking to the dude who was in the SpongeBob movie. Not just once, but, like, twice, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Like, right.
I don't know. This guy, he probably just has no inhibitions and just does whatever he wants to do, right? Like, somebody was willing to pay the fee for his time and said, hey, do you want to sing on our song? And he's probably like, yep. Like, I don't know. It's cool.
Yep. That's probably what happened, but it is really funny. Yeah.
So first kind of legacy band putting out a single this week that's coming back. Jamie's Elsewhere.
Oh yeah.
Aaron Pauly's band.
Yeah.
Back together. I've heard it because it early released on, I want to say Revolver or something like that. So I went and checked it out. It sounds a little bit more poppy than old Jamie's Elsewhere. So if you're looking for kind of that 2012, The Lighthouse, I think, or I forget the name of the album, but I think The Lighthouse is a song actually. But if you're looking for that kind of sound, you're not going to find it. It's definitely a bit poppier. It's kind of more in vine with modern metalcore. Like I would kind of compare it almost to like a Dayseeker, something like that. Really good song. I highly suggest if you're
awesome.
Listening to this and you didn't know it's coming out, forget the name of the song. We're also getting a new song from one of my favorite solo artists to ever come out of the scene. Tillian is putting out a brand new solo song.
Awesome. Yeah.
Have you listened to his kind of pop project that he has going on?
Oh, I love everything that he does. I mean, the guy is like, he's incredible. I mean, there's other way to say it. He's incredible. And I don't want to spoil my, you know, top 10 list, but his work with Dance Gavin Dance this year was, I mean, that record is insane.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, that record, that actually, it came out before this podcast was started. Yep. So we haven't talked about that album at all. But that, I mean, just this guy, and he just keeps getting better.
Oh, he does, 100%.
You know? But, I mean, I guess that's interesting. You know, we're talking about two bands from NorCal right now, too, right? But with James Elsewhere, back to them, you know, Aaron Pauly going back to that band again is really cool because I really felt like they shined with him in it, and it was super underrated at the time, you know. It definitely slipped through the cracks, so it's cool that's coming back too. I wanted to touch on and show my support for that.
One of Mike's controversial takes, I think this might be one of the first ones that we're actually getting on the cast.
Oh okay.
I think every member of Mice and Men that had another project was better in their original project. Aaron Pauly with
I'm thinking James about
Elsewhere.
It.
Austin Carlisle with Attack.
I was going to say that was my first thing. Even Austin. Well, I know you love Attack. So
Jerry Roush with Glass Cloud and Sky Eats Airplane. He was in the band for a year.
Sky Eats Airplane was super good too.
Oh, I love them. They're teasing Glass Cloud's coming back too, so I'm pretty excited about that. We'll see if Jerry's in it. I'm cool with it. If not, we'll see.
Well, yeah. I'll give you my Glass Cloud take right now. In fact, we talked about this a little bit in the All Access Club. Glass Cloud, a band that was, again, short-lived, not a lot of people heard about them. I feel like they broke up kind of right as they were starting. Like, if they'd just gotten over that hump, I think that they would have, you know, done some amazing things. But one of the most talented bands, both in guitar, bass, and drums you'll ever find. And two of the guys are now in Glassjaw. Their drummer and bass player playing Glassjaw, and their guitar player, shout out to Amur, plays guitar in Amur.
Extremely underutilized in Amur, well, in my opinion. But
yeah, I mean, he's
fitting with the band.
Yes. So. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, he's doing his job and getting it done, but absolutely incredible guitar player. And Jerry Roush, a guy that, you know, I know him pretty well from some tours. Mm-hmm. I've seen the guy go a little crazy.
Kind of an urban legend almost.
Yes. I've seen him do some crazy shit, but I love that guy. And his attitude and his energy, Glass Cloud's not the same without him. So I hope that it is him. I have a feeling that it will be. because they never had another singer as far as I know, right? Nope. So I think that, that's it's kind of got to be him. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to keep the same name, in my opinion. But very excited because those are not only a great band, but some great people in that band too. I love those guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. So going off of Jerry Roush and his kind of antics, another band that has some antics put out two new songs on Monday. The first material we've heard from them in 4 years. As far as I know, they're still waiting until they can tour again to release an album. But did you listen to the new songs from Every Time I Die?
No, they just came out.
Yeah.
Yes. Classic Every Time I Die, they announced that they were going to tease something to be announced.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it's so good.
That was so funny to me.
I didn't know they actually came out. I slept on those. Cool. What's the take on those? What do they sound like to you upon first inspection?
So they kind of remind me more of I'm not huge in versed in Every Time I Die. Like, they're another one of those bands that I've never been able to dive in when listening to.
Okay.
But I love them live every single time. So I would almost consider them as a more modern Underwater Bimbos from Outer Space. Like that kind of vibe, where they're definitely more fast paced. I think it's a return to form from their last album, which was Low Teens, which I think a lot of people really liked, and I like that.
I liked it too. Yeah,
but it definitely was a different style from them, I think, compared to their other stuff. And I think they're kind of returning to the fast, chaotic, not having as much of a song structure, kind of vibe that they normally flow with.
Right.
I really like the songs though.
Right. Well, Every Time I Die, that, you know, obviously them being from Buffalo, New York, just a couple hours from Toronto, they would come up and play, you know, all the time locally in my area. So, you know, I knew about them literally in the 90s. What was cool about them was they were never really afraid to take chances and change their sound. And, you know, when Hot Damn came out, which was kind of like their breakthrough record, it was completely different. Didn't sound like anything else that had really come out before. And, you know, from there, it was like the joke was like, Keith Buckley, he's going to change his vocal style on every album. Like, he's going to give you something more on every album. Until now, it's like, okay, now they've put out, I don't know what album this is going to be.
I think this is going to be like album 9,
say. That sounds about right to me. So, you know, now I feel like they're the kind of band that can reflect a little bit back on their legacy. Mm-hmm. Not in terms of like, hey, we're going to do album tours and stuff, because I don't know if they're that kind of a band. But
I don't think they would be.
They are a band though that will probably be smart enough to say like, okay, these are some of the sounds we've done in our past, and what can we do to kind of, you know, make a new album that incorporates some of the best of Every Time I Die along with our new direction. And they've always did a great job of doing that on Low Teens, and I think that they're probably going to do it again. And it's always exciting when E-Tid puts out a new album.
I think so as well. Again, I really like these songs. They took me by surprise because normally I don't like Every Time I Die songs right away.
Yeah.
These ones, like first listen, I was in. So 100% great.
All right.
And kind of our last thing, I think, I really hoped you listened to it because I think this is kind of what everybody wants me to hear me talk about, because I haven't talked about it all week. The new Attack single.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
Oh.
Dude, right. I'm going to throw it on right now.
Do it.
Hold on a second. I think I have to unplug you to make it work. How can I do it? Hang on. I'm going to listen to it
on all right, Shane's going to listen to
telephone.
It. Or this you is, could just like listen to it and I could talk and like just yeah, yeah, in the chat. Yeah, I mean, it's not that important.
We got it going. No, it is that important. I really want to hear, because I was meaning to listen to it. And then I didn't. And I am curious, because here's my thing about Attack is that like they were not on my radar. Like, I knew them as like the ridiculous young band that I, you know, not my thing. So
they seem extremely out of your wheelhouse.
Yes.
Very out of your wheelhouse, very in my wheelhouse. Like, coming into high school, they were like one of my favorite bands, along with like Icy Stars, Asking Alexandria. Like, all that stuff, like the super heavy electronic core, that's my jam. Like,
all still right. is. All my life. Here we go.
park.
Almost. I will say the production carries it, I think.
You blinded my eyes now for way too long. Well, I thought we were friends, but you proved me wrong. You got
it. How do you
So it's the ex-vocalist from Nine Shrines. I forget his name. You can look it up. Chris Paquette. So I think that's who it is. I don't know. That's what Wikipedia tells me.
Well, it's a bit Johnny One Note in the chorus.
Yeah.
You know, the melody has not a lot of like melody that really grabs you, but it's got some power. But yeah, it doesn't sound like it's blowing my mind or anything.
No. Like every part of it, like it sounds good. Like I love the production and the electronic bit. But then, like, the guitar work, the drumming, the bass, like, the vocals, all of it just kind of hits me as, like, we took SiriusXM Octane and threw the top 10 songs in a blender, and this is what like.
Yeah, and it's got that little R&B, like, rhythm there. Yeah. That's very, like, you know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, like, it's definitely not an Attack song. Like, I feel like they really, really, really should have just changed the name at this point, and something will 100% have to change my mind, especially because they're advertising themselves as the return of Crabcore, and I think
right.
that is absolutely
unacceptable. Well, yeah, I mean, like someone's saying here in the chat, like, it's just not an Attack song, and yeah. I'm not one to speculate on that because I haven't heard a lot of Attack in my life, but... I wouldn't say this would sound like Attack.
So let's think about it this way. Would Caleb Shomer ever write a song like that?
Not at this point.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Okay.
It's fine. And that's all I'll say.
Okay, well there it is. So there's the reaction video of me listening to the new Attack single, which that's something we haven't done before on the show, but I don't know. I think it seems a little weird. It's a little fishy to me. Like you don't have Caleb, who is, you know, a really important part of the band in a lot of different aspects, and you don't have Johnny Frank, who was also important, and they were both vocalists in the band. So when you take away two vocalists and songwriters, you're
extremely
left with,
talented songwriters,
right? And you're left with, like, I guess one original member, guitar player that wrote stuff,
two drummer and guitarist.
I don't know. It's just like it's tough to call it the same band, and I'm surprised that. And I don't know. I have no inside information on this, whether if Caleb or Johnny are like bummed or there's legal issues. But
they,
like, if they're
they
still
said they were okay with it on Instagram.
Well,
so.
If they're making that. I don't know. Does that really mean anything? What's happening legally? Like, I don't know. Is this band still selling t-shirts? If they're selling records, someone's getting paid from that, right? Yeah. Those guys that contributed to those albums or wrote those albums are still getting paid money for that. They will forever. So
I'm sure
it's part, you know, this is a part of their legacy. Hey, maybe it's just bringing more attention onto the old stuff. And maybe ultimately it's helping those guys out too. I don't know, but
yeah, who knows?
No Bill Murray.
It's definitely not Bill Murray. It's definitely not Beartooth.
Nope. Nice hoodie, by the way, Mike.
It's not even a hoodie. It's just a shirt.
Oh.
New shirt.
Oh.
Got it today.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I love the kind of like all over print shirts that have like, I need to go this way, that have like things that come all the way up to like the shoulders. I feel like that's a underutilized space in band t-shirts.
It's kind of a little bit like Affliction.
It is. And then like they said it was out. Like, a vintage band shirt or something like that. I forget how they described it, but I was like, all right, that's a pretty cool shirt. Like, I like the vibe. I don't know. Maybe I'm basic.
Right on. Well, Mike, anything else to tell the people about this week and new music?
No, I don't really have anything unless something dropped and I'm not aware of it.
It honestly
I'm
might
pretty
have.
Sure we did it. As always, if you want to see the full list of everything that's coming out, follow me at Slappy Slam on Instagram, and you will be able to see it in my story and on my page. It's pretty cool. You can see a lot of music.
All this new shit, got a new whip, got some new ice, got some new drip, got rid of my old trash, got a new bitch. All this new shit, yeah. All this new shit, yeah. All this new shit, yeah. Got a new whip, got some new ice, got some new drip.